Thank you for joining us for today's Practical Living broadcast, and I pray that through this message that you will learn how to apply God's Word and truths to any situation in your life. Stay with us as we discover God's truths that will transform us.
Well, go ahead and grab your Bibles, if you will, as we get ready to continue our series of messages that we're involved in. We've been involved in these messages for the last couple of weekends and a brand new year. And I want to draw your attention today back to the topic of recovery. We're going to talk about the way back to better. Recovery, the way back to better. I want to talk to you today about your expectations, learning how to create some expectations in your relationship with God. We must learn to expect. Well, 2020 was a very interesting year. I think all of us would acknowledge it was a very challenging time, and perhaps you feel like you've had multiple experiences with 2020 over the last several years, and it seems as though you've gone through some very difficult periods, not only this past year, but maybe in the years past. And I want to talk to us today about something I believe that is the Word of God for us as we enter into 2021. We're now into the third weekend of 2021. What is God saying to us this year? What is a word that you and I can hold on to as we head into and begin to experience a brand new year? And as I was really praying about that several weeks ago, actually right before the new year, and asking God for what He would have me to share with you as we start 2021 together, there was one word that really came to my mind, my heart, and that was the word recover, that this is a year of recovery for your life. And we've been talking about the principles, at least at some level. We're early in the series, but we're talking about the principles of recovery. And last weekend, I talked to you about the principle of repentance, that you and I need to understand that for recovery to happen in our lives, there's something called repentance that is necessary. I want to take just a moment and sort of review that a bit. So we then move from that to something that follows recovery, and that is expectation of God to work in our lives. And that's the second key to recovery. You and I need to have some expectations or faith in God. Let's go back to this word repentance just for a moment. You know, the children of Israel, when you study the Old Testament, their relationship with God, it was quite an up and down experience. There were many times that Israel would walk away from God. And the prophets of God would be raised up to give them a word of repentance, a call to come back to God. And then on the heels of the call to come back to God would come a promise quite often of restoration, a promise of recovery, that repentance leads to recovery. I want to show you an example of this in Joel chapter 2. We see the prophet Joel speaking to Israel when they had really fallen away from God, and there's this call of repentance and the promise of recovery. Joel 2, verses 13 and 14. Joel speaks on behalf of God to God's people. Don't tear your clothing in your grief that is in their sorrow over their sin, but tear your hearts instead. Notice this, return to the Lord. That's repentance. Return to the Lord your God, for He is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not punish. Who knows, perhaps He will give you a reprieve, sending you a blessing instead of this curse. So God speaks a lot of things you can read in Joel chapter 2 of the word that God gives to His people who have fallen away from Him. But the primary word, as He starts with, is the word of repentance. Come back to God. Let me say to all of us today, that's the beginning point if you and I want to experience any kind of recovery in our lives. The principle that is necessary to begin with, the entrance ramp into recovery, is the word repentance. Return to God. Maybe that's what you need to do today. Maybe you need to return to God. Maybe you've drifted from Him this past year or in the most recent years, and you need to get back to where you need to be in your relationship with God. Now, going to the book of Joel chapter 2, after God called them to repentance, to return to God, then God promised recovery. See, repentance kickstarts recovery. Notice verses 21 through 26, where God now again promises them this very wonderful thing of restoration. Don't be afraid, my people. Be glad now and rejoice, for the Lord God has done great things. Don't be afraid, you animals of the field, for the wilderness pastures will soon be green. The trees will again be filled with fruit, fig trees and grapevines will be loaded down once more. Rejoice, you people of Jerusalem. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for the rain He sends demonstrates His faithfulness. Once more the autumn rains will come, as well as the rains of spring. The threshing floors will again be piled high with grain, and the presses will overflow with new wine and olive oil. The Lord says, I will give you back what you lost. to the swarming locust, the hopping locust, the stripping locust, and the cutting locust. It was I who sent this great destroying army against you. Once again, you will have all the food you want, and you will praise the Lord your God who does these miracles for you. Never again will my people be disgraced. Here's what I want you to see. I'm laying this foundation, this sequence of principles related to recovery, getting back things in your life that you've lost or forfeited in your spiritual journey, or things in your life where your emotions and your inner psychological being has sort of gotten out of order, or relationships need to be restored. God wants to do that kind of work in your life because God is a God of recovery. And so he reminds us that repentance kickstarts the road to recovery, but he also reminds us with that process of repentance comes the promise of restoration. Here in this passage, God says, I'm not just going to bring you back, but I'm going to bring you back to better. I hope you'll grab that phrase today. Not just coming back, or not just getting back things you've lost, but coming back to better. When God promises recovery, he never simply brings us back. He always brings us back to better. Now, let's move to our next step in this process. We talked about repentance as the entrance ramp. The next step in the journey, if you and I want recovery from God, is we must have faith. We must have an expectation that God will do what he promises in our life. Recovery requires faith. Would you say that with me? Recovery requires faith. It requires a willingness to believe and expect God to do what he promises that he's going to do and wants to do in our lives. Now, this is where things oftentimes really break down for people. Lots of people never make it to this step because they don't expect God to work in their lives. They don't exercise any faith. In fact, there's a lot of people, many people who've let go of all expectations, all positive expectations for their lives. They've gone into what I would say protection mode. The protection mode is something like this. The thought is, if I don't expect anything good to happen, I will not be disappointed. And so I'm just going to live my life in the negative. I'm just going to expect nothing good, so I will never be disappointed. But when you come to God, you have to understand that faith or expectation in God is vital for everything that God does in your life. You are saved, yes, by grace through faith. You put your faith in God and there comes salvation. You are delivered by your faith. You are recovered by your faith. It's all a sequence. It's a process of utilizing something that only you can utilize, the choice to believe, the choice to expect God to do something in your life. God wants you to believe in him. He wants you to trust in him, and he wants you to expect him to work in your life. You will never recover without some level of positive expectation and faith in God. And perhaps for you, the first recovery that you need in your life is the recovery of your faith. That happened for a man by the name of Thomas, did it not? Because Thomas had kind of lost his faith at the time that Jesus was crucified. He didn't want to believe that Jesus was alive. And the first thing that Thomas needed was a moment where his faith could be restored. And that was the recovery he needed. And Jesus showed up and recovered, helped Thomas to recover his faith. Why do you doubt? And Jesus showed him his hands and his feet and his side. And in that moment, there was a recovery of faith. Maybe you need a recovery of faith in your life. And today I'm going to talk to you about how do you recover your expectations in and for God? How do you recover your faith? And our focal point is an Old Testament character by the name of Joshua. You perhaps know him well. Joshua was given the responsibility of leading the children of Israel into the promised land after Moses' death. He had been the servant of Moses for many years, and after Moses dies, he's given the job of leading the children of Israel into the promised land. Take a look with me, if you will, at Joshua chapter 1. We'll read the first 9 verses, and let's set the stage for the lessons that we're going to learn today about recovering faith and being a person that has expectations for God to work in our life in the realm of recovery. Joshua 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, to the Hittite, and all the Hittite country, to the the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. For the next few moments, I want to share with you four lessons that you and I need to learn from this passage that will help us to reaffirm and reestablish our expectations or our faith in God so that we can get back to better. It is a principle of recovery. To expect recovery, the first thing that you and I need to do is to make sure that we're hearing God's voice. The world around us is very noisy, is it not? I mean, think about all the noise of the world in which we live right now. It's a very noisy place. And not only is the world a noisy place, but we're noisy too. We have a lot of noise going on the inside of us. There are many voices speaking to us from outside of us and inside of us, demanding our attention and demanding our actions. But out of all these voices, the voices of the world around us and these internal voices that are always speaking to us in certain ways, there's one voice that we need to discover and one voice we need to tune into, and that is the voice of God. And Joshua had to learn this lesson. I want you to notice the circumstances that Joshua found himself in. The Bible says that after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Let's stop there just for a moment. What had happened was the man who had led Israel out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and brought them to Mount Sinai, had received the law, the Ten Commandments of God from the mountaintop. After he had died, he's this great leader of Israel. It was now a critical, crucial time in the nation of Israel's history. What would they do now? Their major, wonderful leader that had been there so long now was dead. We can imagine that during this period of time, lots of people had lots of opinions about what needed to happen next. I'm sure that Joshua was hearing from lots of different folks about how he ought to handle the situation or what needed to be done. Because in the midst of a vacuum like this, of an absence of leadership, there are lots of voices that generally come to the surface. And I'm sure that Joshua had that experience. We can also imagine that Joshua, being in this place of leadership, had a lot of voices going on inside his own head, and not necessarily positive ones. I'm sure that Joshua was questioning his future and the future of Israel. What now? Moses is dead. He's feeling challenged. How now? How will we do this? And certainly I'm sure he felt the insecurity. It can't be me. I can't do this job. I can't be a Moses. And it's not the right time to get the children of Israel in. I can't do this. I'm sure there were lots of voices inside of the head of Joshua. In the midst of all these external and internal voices, Joshua had to listen for another voice, a better voice. He had to listen for an accurate voice. And that's what you and I need to do as well. You have to listen in the midst of all the noise of the world around you and the noise of your own inner thoughts. You and I need to listen for another voice, the voice that is the accurate voice and the true voice. And that's exactly what happened with Joshua. Notice again, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide. Notice that one phrase, the Lord said to Joshua. Among all the voices, Joshua tuned in to the one voice that mattered. What precious words the Lord said to Joshua. After 40 long years in the wilderness, Joshua needed to be convinced that God's promises, God's people, would get them into the promised land, that there would be something that they could expect to happen, and only the voice of the Lord could convince him of this. He didn't need the voice of people. He couldn't trust the voice of his own soul. but he could trust the voice of the Lord. As we seek for a fresh start in our lives, we need to hear the same voice that Joshua heard. We need to hear the voice of God. To hear God's voice, there are at least three things that you and I need to do. You and I need to believe that God speaks. I want to tell you today that God wants to speak to you. I'm not talking about in some strange and weird and crazy way. I'm not talking about some kind of unusual revelation that God would give you. I'm talking about just the simple speaking of God's voice into your life. And that happens primarily through his word. And that's why you and I, we need to be in this book. That's exactly why God told Joshua, don't let this book of the law depart from your lips. Meditate on it day and night, because this was the voice of God speaking to Joshua. And in the midst of all the voices that are happening in our world today and all the thoughts that often flood our own minds, we need to believe that God wants to speak to us. And then we need to, second of all, listen for that still small voice of hope and possibility. See, when you read your Bible, you need to open your ears to hear that still small voice of the Holy Spirit speaking hope and speaking possibility in your life. When God speaks to you, he always speaks hope. He always speaks possibility. Even when God corrects you, he does so for your benefit and for your future because he loves you. And so God never speaks words of condemnation. The devil condemns, but God inspires. And so when you and I listen for the voice of God as we read his word, we're listening for that word of promise, that word of hope, that word of possibility that he wants to give to you. And there's a word of hope and possibility that God wants to speak into your life. Yes, God speaks, but he speaks in a still small voice. You have to get quiet before him and listen to the voice of his Spirit through his word, and then you have to tune out all the negative voices. It's a wonderful thing when you can just simply begin to say, I'm not going to listen to that channel anymore. I'm going to change the channel. I'm not going to listen to that recording in my mind any longer. I'm changing the dialogue in my heart and in my mind. I'm not listening to those things anymore. And so you believe that God speaks, and you begin to listen to the still small voice of the Spirit of the living God for your life, and then you begin to tune out the negative voices, because your mind and heart, under the influence of our spiritual adversary, the devil, will always go toward the negative. God's voice comes to lift you up, to give you hope, to tell you that recovery is possible in your life. It's so valuable for us to hear God's voice. Your expectation of God increases when you hear his voice. The second thing that is necessary is you have to put a period on the past. Before Joshua could move into the possibilities of the future, he had to come to grips with the reality of history. And the reality of history was simply this: Moses is dead. And so God reminds him, you've got to understand, that's history that's behind you now. Moses is dead. God was not informing Joshua about Moses being dead. Joshua already knew this, but he was helping Joshua deal with Moses' death. God was helping Joshua to let go of the past history. It was a way that Joshua was being called to put in perspective what had happened in the past, because when Joshua thought about the past, he remembered that Moses had not been able to lead the children of Israel in. And so if Moses had not been able to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, how could he ever do it? And so now God is saying, you've got to put that behind you. See, one of the biggest hindrances to moving forward into our future is our past. You will never recover in the positive, proper way in your life as long as your past is hanging over your present and hanging over your future. Everybody that's watching today, you have a past, and your past is a track record of everything you've done. It's really recorded in your gray matter, in your mind, in your soul, the things of your life, positive and negative. They're recorded in your life. They're part of your history, and your past affects the way that you think about, the way you view the possibilities of your present and the possibilities of your future. And while your past is powerful, I want you to know today that it is not necessarily predictive. I'll say that again. Just because you've had a track record in a certain way in the past, maybe it's been negative, maybe there's been some failures, like for Israel, they had failed to go into the promised land when Moses had initially tried to bring them in. That was a part of their history. It was very real. It was not something made up. It was a part of their past, but God is now helping them to understand that although that past can be very powerful, it is not necessarily predictive. Your past is not a prophet of your future. If I could somehow get that into all of our hearts today, that your past does not prophesy to you what your future is going to be. You simply confront the reality of what your past has been, but then begin in the name of Jesus, through the power of His blood and through the power of His word, to dethrone the past, to say it no longer has control over my life. Even your successes in the past can keep you from pursuing all that God has for your present and for your future. I want you to notice how God handle this with Joshua in a very specific way. Notice what he says to them in Joshua, what God says to him in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, notice those words, now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I want you to notice that phrase, now then. God wants you to get your heart and mind focused on the now. God doesn't point Joshua to the past. God doesn't say, hey, don't forget what happened all those years ago when you failed. He doesn't remind him of anything in the past. He points him to now. He says, you've got to get your now in focus. And that's the same is true for you and me. That God has to somehow let us put a period on the past and to believe that recovery is possible. We have to confront and dethrone and counteract our past with the promises of God. That's exactly what Joshua learned to do. Living in the past will rob you of faith for your present and for your future. The third thing that is necessary for us to experience recovery is a step called expectation. It's a step called faith, believing that this is possible for our lives, as you and I need to believe in God's ability. Although Moses was dead, Joshua needed to be reminded that even though Moses was dead, God wasn't dead. God was alive and God was with Joshua. The Lord wanted Joshua to know that gaining the promised land was something that he was going to help Joshua and his people do as they followed him. God comes on the scene and he says, I want you to believe in my ability to do this. Forget what happened in the past. Rekindle your faith in me. Listen to my voice instead of the voices that are around you and believe in my ability. And that's what needs to happen to you and I. You might be looking at a life that seems to be torn apart. Maybe you're dealing with an addiction, or maybe you're dealing with something that seems to be a really big failure in your life, or some aspect of your life that you wonder, could I ever recover from? And please remember this, you don't have to recover from it yourself. God is able to help you recover from it. Listen again to God's encouragement to Joshua. Verses 2 through 5, Joshua 1, Moses my servant is dead. Now then you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God says, I'm going to give it to you. I promise it to you. I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So God is saying, it is my ability, not yours, that will get you past the situation and into your promised land. See, only God has the power to give people recovery. You can't recover yourself. You need the power of God to overcome things in your life, to recover from things in your life. Our willpower is insufficient for recovery. A lot of people say, I'm just going to fix it myself. No, you can't fix it yourself. If you do, you might make more of a mess of things than they are now. You certainly will never get back to the better place that God has in store for you. We need God's power for recovery. All we need to do is give God our will. That's all He's asking of us. He simply needs us to be willing to cooperate with Him. And when you and I give Him our will, He brings to us His power. You know, there so many verses in the Bible that remind us of the power of God, the ability of God. And I want to remind you today that recovery happens when you and I believe that God is able to do what we are not able to do ourselves. In Matthew 19, verse 26, Jesus spoke these very important words that need to ring in your heart today. Grab hold of these words. Hold on to them. They are a promise from God to you. Jesus looked at them, Matthew 19, 26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. Read the rest with me, but with God, what does it say? All things are possible. And I want you to know today that as you're thinking about some level of recovery in your life, whatever it might be, whatever God is speaking to you about bringing restoration, bringing recovery, it's not your ability, it's God's ability. With man, it might be impossible. With you, it's impossible, but it's not impossible with God. The fourth and final thing I want to draw to your attention today as we're wrapping up this message is that for us to have this positive expectation in our life, this faith in God, we need to embrace the grace of God, embrace God's grace. Let me explain what I mean by this. While God said, I'm going to do this for you, Joshua, I want you to believe in me and put the past behind you, and I want you to hear my voice in the midst of all these voices. Let me speak to you about what your future looks like and what the future of Israel looks like. God reminds him of all those things, but he also requires something from Joshua. As Joshua is now preparing and equipping himself to lead Israel into the promised land, God says, there's something I do want you to do. I want you to cooperate with me in this process. And notice verses 6 through 9 as we pay attention to the requirement that God gave to Joshua, because you and I need to obey the requirement as well. Joshua 1, verse 6, be strong and courageous. This is not what God was going to do. It was what God was telling Joshua to do. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Multiple times in these verses that we've just read, God says to Joshua, he summarizes it with this phrase, be strong. This is what you need to do, Joshua. You need to be strong. And the phrase in the Hebrew for be strong is literally means to grasp firmly, to take your hands of faith and to grasp firmly to something, to grasp firmly in this situation to the grace of God, to grasp firmly to the grace that he wants to pour into your life. How? By getting God's word into your heart. Don't let these words of the law depart from your lips. Meditate on them day and night. That is where your strength and that is where your courage is going to come from. Stop believing the lies of the adversary. Stop believing the words of other people. Stop believing anything that would draw you away from me. No, come to me and get my word inside of you, on your lips and your heart. Meditate on it day and night. I want you to be strong. That is to grasp firmly my grace by getting your word into your heart and into your life. See, God's grace comes to us by his word. Getting a firm grip on God's grace involves getting a firm grip on the promises of God. This book is full of promises for you. And if you're going to have expectation for recovery in your life, you need to get the promises inside of you so that the promises become more real to you than the problems you're facing in your life. Let me say that again. Grab hold of God's word and find the promises of God's word so the promises of God's word become more real to you than the problems in your life. See, it's the promises of God that will help you overcome the problems in your life. As Paul was getting ready to depart in the book of Acts from the church leaders at Ephesus, he's never going to see them again. He knows what his life is going to be. Very soon, his life is going to be taken from him. So he's leaving them, and he wants to give them a final word. And so in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, we have this final word that Paul speaks to the Ephesian leaders of the church, and a word that needs to be spoken to us that we need to understand in our lives as well today. Notice Acts 20, verse 32. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. Notice that. I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up. Notice that strength. It can give you the strength that you need. It can allow you to make it through this challenge. It can allow you to recover as you need to recover. It can bring about everything that you need from God in your life. I'm committing you to God and to His Word, the Word of His grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Paul said, get this Word into your heart and your Word into your life. And this is our responsibility. Embrace the grace of God by embracing the Word, the promises of God that give us the very thing that we need to conquer the problems that are in our life, that allow us to experience recovery, to allow us to get back to better. We need to believe that recovery is possible as God's grace works in our hearts. We must believe, we must believe, we must expect, we must trust that with God, recovery is possible. How? We hear the voice of God. Can I ask you today, whose voice are you listening to? Are you listening to the voice of the world around you? Are you listening to your own internal fears and your own internal doubts? Are you listening to the voice of heaven, as Joshua learned to do? Have you put a period on your past, or are you still living in the past failures? Well, I tried it before and it didn't work. That could have been Joshua's excuse, but it wasn't. He said, I'm going to move on. Now is my moment. Do you believe that God is able to help you with whatever you need help with? Do you believe in the ability of God? Can you have confidence in a God that is bigger than whatever you faced in your life, that is bigger than your failure, bigger than your loss, bigger than what you've forfeited, a God who is well able to restore and recover? And will you embrace the grace of God in your life by getting into the Word and discovering the promises that are bigger than your problems? If you will, I assure you that you're going to be well on your way to God's recovery in your life and for your future. Would you bow your head together with me as we pray? Father, we thank you so much for your Word today. We're grateful for the Word of God and the truth of your Word, that you called us to be people that have expectations, not expectations in other people or expectations even necessarily in ourselves, but expectations in you, that we are to expect, God, a recovery in our lives. We're to exercise faith. We're to believe that these things are possible. And Lord, I pray for every person watching today. I pray that, Lord, where they've been listening to the wrong voices, I pray that your voice would cut through all those other voices as you did for Joshua, do for us. Let us hear that voice that is above every voice, the voice that is clear and true and accurate, the voice of God. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to put a period on the past. Help us to come into the now. As you called Joshua, even though Moses was dead, you were calling him away from that focus, away from history, into the present reality of what you wanted to do. It was a now moment. Help us to embrace this now moment, putting a period on our past. Lord, I pray that we would believe in your ability. It's not what we can do, Lord. It's what you can do. You're going to do something in our lives that will be a testimony of your kindness, your power, your ability. And Lord, help us to embrace your grace, to do our part, to get into your Word and to discover the promises that help us to conquer every problem. For that, we thank you in Jesus' name.
I would like to close today by giving you an opportunity to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Would you pray with me right now? Right where you are, just simply bow your head with me, and I'm going to give you a prayer to pray, and you can simply speak this prayer out, whisper this prayer out, and from the sincerity of your heart, call upon God, and I promise you that He will hear and answer you. So let's pray together. Start by simply whispering the name Jesus. Let there come from your heart just the declaration of His name. Say, Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, that I have fallen short with you. I'm sorry for all of my sins. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you are God's Son. I believe that you are the Savior of the world. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the grave, that you are alive today. Now pray these words. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Give me a new start in you. I commit my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, I want to encourage you with a promise from God's Word that says that when we call upon God's name, we call upon the Son of God, there is salvation that comes to our lives. He changes us from the inside out, and you become a new creation. All things pass away, all things become new. And that's exactly what has happened to you today. Your next step really is to make sure that you get into a good Bible-believing church. And you begin to study God's Word, get God's Word in you, and to make sure that you get a copy of the Bible if you don't have one and begin to read it. Spend some time every day in prayer. And I would encourage you also to check out the resources on our website that will help you to get going in your relationship with Jesus. You can find them at church-redeemer.org. Get those into your hands. Get started in your new life with Jesus Christ. Thanks again for joining us today. May God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you next time.